So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A.
Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview.
Wisconsin Eye is asking cabinet secretaries for Governor Tony Evers, who took office 1 month ago today, to come in and talk about their agency, who they are, and their goals. So I'm going to welcome Transportation Secretary Craig Thompson. Welcome. Hi, you've been here before, and you're wearing your old hat of TDA Executive Director. But and I'm not using designate because I think you have the votes to eventually be confirmed, right?
I believe I do, yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. You're in the middle of what I think two major issues, healthcare expansion and transportation highway funding. You're squarely in the middle of that second one. And it's so interesting to me. I'd like to start first. Can you give a projected shortfall estimate just of the next biennium, 2019 through 21?
You know, to me, it's always hard when you ask that of transportation because
You can scale things.
Yeah, it depends what we want, but right. I'll try to do my best. So, for just our state highways, in order to maintain current conditions, mm-hmm. We would need an additional $360 to $400 million.
Okay.
For that. That doesn't begin to address the county, city, village, town roads,
yes.
and what we want to get out of that. And I think everybody agrees there's a tremendous amount of need there, and it doesn't address anything on our interstate system. Or any improvement projects through our what's called our Major Highway Improvement Program. It doesn't discuss any of that either. So just for maintaining just the state highway
state
portion
highway
of our
system,
network.
State highway system, non-interstates,
right.
non-local government streets and roads.
Right.
And
of course, that doesn't begin to address transit or any of our other needs as well either. Yep.
Right. 360 to 400 million.
Yep.
Okay. Talk to me about the process. Now, you've had one meeting, 34-member stakeholders had one meeting, and then you had another one Monday in La Crosse that Wisconsin I covered.
Right.
But how do you see, do you want these stakeholders to come up with a recommendation, or are you using the members, which I find incredibly diverse? You've got a beer brewer on there and railroad passengers. Do you want them to be a sounding board for what you're eventually going to recommend to the governor for his February 28 budget message?
Yeah, I think it's what you said at the end there, is a sounding board. You know, we, Wisconsin and I covered our meeting on Monday. We've been trying to be as transparent as we can about that. Everybody was open to the public on Thursday as well. Some folks were there filming for that too. We wanted to go through with this group that is, you know, agriculture interests and tourism interests and truckers and timber and local governments and brewer.
Bicyclists?
Yeah, commercial realtors, bicyclists, environmental groups, ports, airports, rail. And get from this cross section, you know, where do we see the most agreement on where priorities should be for, you know, whatever dollars we do have and where they should be spent, and get a hierarchy there,
yep.
which I think for as diverse as that group was, we had people putting dots on different options, and there was a lot of clustering going around certain things. So I think it gave us a very good idea about where we can find, you know, some agreement on priorities. And then we did the same with revenues. If we were going to raise revenues, A, do you think we should? B, if we do, we put out a myriad of ways that it can be done, how much each of those could raise at different levels. And we asked people, and I think we saw some consensus among some broad options there. So I think it was tremendously informative.
You also had the mass transit, which is incredibly important.
Absolutely
to
right.
City of Milwaukee legislators.
Absolutely right.
And you had your ports
yep.
and airports. So you've got a 34-member group. I've always wondered whether 34 members can come up with any recommendations. But are you asking them to come up with recommendations?
We wanted to find, and I'll tell you, the staff at the DOT and the amount of time we had to put this together, I thought did a tremendous job of facilitating this and getting constructive response on it. We wanted to find where some of the areas we could get the most support for where people want to prioritize their dollars and how they would see being raised. And I think we got that out of there. And we'll be summarizing it. Again, everything we presented, and people can watch as much of the conversations as they would like. Wisconsin and I, but we will be providing a summary, and then it will inform very much the recommendations that my department makes to the governor, and I think ultimately what the governor introduces on February 28th.
The headline out of the first meeting, let me repeat it. Secretary wants to raise gas tax or registration fee. Knowing you, knowing the issue, having covered the Capitol for a little bit, is that too simple?
Yeah, it is.
That was too simplistic?
I think what I said was, and I was quoted accurately on that, I think the headline was just a little further. I said we're going to look at everything, including things like current sales tax dollars being collected on vehicles that go to the general fund. That's one option. But I did say there are user fees that are constitutionally protected right now. Because of an amendment that the public voted for by 80%.
The so-called lockbox.
Yep, in 2014. And those two user fees are our registration fees and our gas taxes. So I did say they are naturals for us to look at.
Right, yep. Because they provide, according to WSDOT data and the Fiscal Bureau, 91%
right.
of all transportation right. fund revenues.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
You mentioned something that has been floated for 8 or 10 years, and that is taking sales taxes now paid on vehicles, auto parts and repairs, and moving it to the transportation fund. At Money's meeting in La Crosse, Mr. Sommerfeld, one of your assistants, scored that at $630 million. Now, the good news is that would not be a tax increase. Right. The bad news is it would be moving that money from the general fund to the transportation fund. And Craig, $600 million, as you know, is about the additional money that Governor Evers is going to recommend for special ed. So is that a feasible option?
Well, you know, from a couple standpoints, just very parochially for me, looking at what is best for the transportation system, you know, that we don't raise any new revenues from anybody, you can raise significant revenue from doing that and move forward on that. Governor Evers has told all of us, though, that he wants us to connect the dots and look at the big picture.
Right.
And when we look at that, what it could do to the general fund for you know, healthcare and education and other things, I think it's a tough sell. And when we had that, that's sort of what we got back from our task force. There was very split opinions on that from people that are concerned about those programs funded out of the general fund.
Are you taking that off the table then, sir?
I'm not saying I'm taking it off the table, but it did not. There was not nearly as much consensus around that as there was some of the other options.
Okay. Last week, Representative Nygren, co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, after a WisPolitics luncheon, floated this huge trial balloon. Mm-hmm. If we're going to cut income taxes by 340, maybe we should use that tax cut and move it over to the transportation fund because it would meet Governor Walker's old standard that you haven't raised taxes. Do you consider that? Well, just to be fair, 2 hours later, then, Mr. Nygren issued a press release saying this was not a formal proposal. Mm-hmm. But is that another viable option that should be considered?
Well, you know, to me, what I think Representative Nygren was saying was simply, you know, following through on what they had talked about last session with what they had proposed, that, and it did meet what Governor Walker was saying, was, you know, that if you're going to raise, you know, they had proposed eliminating the sales tax exemption on gas and then finding an equivalent offset somewhere else. So, you know, I don't think it was really inconsistent what Representative Nygren said. I think he was just outlining that framework that they had been working under. But we're certainly open to exploring any way we can get to yes on fixing our transportation system.
Before you were named Transportation Secretary, you were Executive Director of Transportation Development mm-hmm. Association. So you worked this issue for how many years, Greg?
I was there for 11 years.
11 years. Why haven't we been able to get to yes over the last 2, 4, 6 years?
Well, you know, I think there's been growing support, both in the public and with legislators. You know, it seems to keep getting a little further each time. What we got to, you know, last budget, we had the whole assembly behind it, but there's disagreement in the Senate. Mm-hmm. You know, our role at Transportation Development Association, you know, I know it's been portrayed that I was a lobbyist and I was a lobbyist for these different groups.
You were pushing for tax increases.
Yeah, we were registered, but I didn't lobby, you know, really at all on any of these things. What we did was public outreach and going out and meeting with Rotary clubs and counties and cities, towns, villages, talking with the media and from businesses in the different areas. You know, when you said there was a brewery on this task force, we had met with some of these folks that talked about they had to bring on another person to bubble wrap their bottles of beer. Because they were breaking, because the roads were so rough. We talked with other ones that were saying they have to replace their fleet on a shorter schedule because it was taking greater toll, you know, on their fleet. So we were trying to, farmers talking about how it's cost them so much more when a bridge gets weight restricted and they have to go around. That's what we were doing, was going out and getting those stories and talking about what the state of our transportation system was meaning in communities across the state. That was what our effort was about.
How do you get to yes when the last Charles Franken and Mar Kettpohl said, we want better roads in Wisconsin, but the score on increasing the gas tax was 52% no, 42% in favor? How do you move that pile?
So I will tell you, when you talked about movement that we've had,
yes.
in that last poll, it was actually 52% no. It was
yes.
the previous one that it was 62. So we've moved that same poll from that same group. The public has moved considerably. When you look at moving that amount on polls, that's a lot. And then I would say on top of that, it's like a generic ballot, right? I mean,
yeah.
Nobody has anything to react to. I believe when Governor Evers proposes a transportation budget, we will be able to tell people this is what it would mean if there's increased revenues, for the average person, or you can do the calculation. We're not going to solve anything in the next 2 to 4 years, but I think we can get on a path for a couple dollars more a month. And then if people can see that the conditions are going to improve for that, then I think we're going to have people will be able to react to it better.
So you are seeking kind of a down payment in the next budget on this problem. The long-term problem, it's got a lot of digits. We have more than $1 billion problem long range, don't we?
Yeah, but sometimes we all try to make the problem so big that there's just paralysis at some point in time.
Yep, yep.
And we wouldn't be able to fix all that in the next 2 years anyways. So I think we can get on a path where we can have a budget that will stop the decline of the conditions on our state highways and start to improve them. I believe we can give the towns, villages, counties, cities more money to be addressing their needs. I believe we can increase some funding for transit and access to that. I believe we can address increasing money for elderly and disabled aides. I think we can do all of that and still be one of, if not the cheapest states in the Midwest in those two user fees that we pay. And I believe we can put ourselves on a trajectory to have the debt go down over the next 10 years, the percent that goes for debt service.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about that, because the estimate from the Fiscal Bureau in fiscal 2018-19 is at 19.6%.
Yep.
One out of every $5 that we pay goes to pay for debt. Are you committed to recommending a 2019-2021 budget that does not increase that debt service, number one, or reduces it?
Well, we want to see it go down over time. So I think sometimes in my old role when I was with the Transportation Development Association, I think we were one of the first groups to really start sounding the warning bell about, our over-reliance on debt when we had budgets with zero new revenue and $900 million of issuing new bonds. And you
yes.
do that several times. The trajectory of that debt service is eating up more and more of the money that is coming in, almost 20%, as you said. I believe it's about a numerator and a denominator. You can't just look at how much debt. You got to look at it as ratio to revenue. And I believe we can responsibly issue less debt if there's some more revenue, and we can have that arc go down over the next 10 years and have less debt service going out.
I think I heard the former Transportation Secretary once say, we do not have a revenue problem, we have a spending problem. Is that right?
On that, I do have a different opinion on that. A lot of folks have asked me when I've been having my Senate visits, and they've been really good visits, really involved, smart questions. What people do want to hear from me is that we're going to make sure that we're not over-engineering projects, that we're not building, Taj Mahals for different things, or bigger bridges than what's really needed, or doing a replace when we could probably get away with an overlay for the next 10, 20 years,
okay.
basically under the what we call asset management. I want to get every penny out of every – we've got so much to do, as you talked about. We don't need to fatten up projects to make sure people can get work. There's no need for that. So I want to make sure we're being as absolutely efficiently – as we can. But what I don't want to do when I'm done, I don't want to say that I efficiently manage the decline of our transportation system. I would rather say that we efficiently manage investment in improving our transportation system.
I was fascinated at your briefing of the stakeholders meeting on Monday, because to your credit, you provided new revised updates on some of these revenue options. So can we go down
sure.
these? Increasing the title fee. Title fee now is how much?
That's
okay. $1 increase in the title fee would raise $1.5 million.
Right.
That's very little when you're looking at a state highway deficit of up to $400 million. Eliminating the deduction for evaporation. Now, Mr. Sommerfeld said technology may have solved this problem. Is that...
That was when we got a lot of reaction from the task force saying, that's interesting. If that's antiquated and we're able to do that, again... It doesn't solve it on its own, but we need to look at as many ways as we can, and things add up. So I think that's what we may look at.
The $75 that you and I pay to register our passenger cars, SUVs, light trucks, hasn't been increased since 2008.
Right.
A $10 increase, $75 to $85, would raise $40 million. Has it been too long since we've raised that registration fee?
Well, you know, that's subjective whether it's been too long. I will tell you, when you compare us with our neighbors, that's where we are drastically different than our neighbors. They generally, almost all of our neighbors have, other than Illinois, and of course they've got the tollway in that, but they have value-based registration fees. So it will depend greatly on what the value of your car is, but talking $200, $300, $400, $500 for most people in other states next to us.
Thank you for bringing up value-based registration, which, as you say, Iowa, Michigan, and Minnesota has. That is a potential revenue increase. I almost said upper, but that's too much of the vernacular. $49 million. How do you feel about that?
So that's in the early years. See, the way that would work is you would only start charging that when you go and buy a brand new car.
Yes.
So cumulatively, the revenue stream for something like that does get bigger as you go, but there's a lag and it takes a while.
Most of these estimates were 3 years out.
Yep.
2022.
Yep. We're open to that, though.
Indexing within 3 years would again be worth, which is tying our gas tax to the inflation rate, the CPI. That's indexing. It entered in 2006, as you're well aware. Potentially worth $55 million additional by 2022. Is that a basic? Some people, many legislators in the Capitol say we should start there, including Senator Erpenbach and some Democrats. Should we start there?
The way we fund transportation doesn't match the way we fund the rest of government. Income tax is percentage-based. Sales tax is percentage-based. If you look at, they've had natural growth in those funds. We have a flat amount for registration fee and a flat amount for gas tax. If we don't do something that makes it act more like the taxes that fund the rest of government, we're going to continue on a flat line.
Okay. Eliminating the vehicle trade-in sales tax exemption would be worth $87 million by 2022. That'd be a controversial change, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, anytime we're raising revenue from these, there would be discussion on both sides. Michigan does that right now. Right now, we just charge sales tax on the difference when you trade in your car and sell it. This would be applying it to the entire amount.
And then if we extended our 5% sales tax to fuel sales, potential upper of $165 million, another potential unpopular. You're ringing a lot of people's bells here, potentially.
So removing the sales tax exemption from gas, is that what you're...
Extending the 5% state sales tax to fuel sales.
Another way to say that, yes.
Yes.
And that's what the Assembly Republicans had proposed last time. And numerous of our neighbors do that right now, currently, so I think it's something that's worth exploring.
You're right. Assembly Republicans put a plan on the table in the last budget session that didn't meet with the approval of Governor Walker or Senate Republicans. Do you feel you have more in common as you try to build a compromise with Assembly Republicans? Excuse me.
I would say probably, looking at where, you know, what they passed out of their House last time and where they looked. We actually had three documents that we wanted that task force to look over and read. One was the Transportation Finance and Policy Commission that Governor Walker had put together.
From 2016.
Yep. Yep. And I had served on that. And then the solvency report that the department had put together. But the third was the No Easy Answers document that the Assembly Republicans had put out last time. I thought it laid out the issue very well of why we needed to do something now.
They wanted to repeal minimum markup. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about minimum markup?
I think it is something that we may need to look at. It does affect the price of gas. And if we're looking out for the consumer not having to pay more for gas, I don't think anything's, you know, like that would be off the table right now.
Our gas tax, and I'm using the 30.9, I'm not including the 2-cent PECFA, hasn't been increased since 2006. The estimate of your agency, if we raise it by 5 cents per gallon from 30.9 to 35.9, upper of $165 million. And your staffer said this would be almost an immediate increase. In other words, it would kick in 2019-2021.
It's immediate, and the administrative costs on that are next to zero. They're less than a percent as far as,
right.
So the money all actually gets into the fund. There's not administrative costs associated.
Okay, but you're not sitting here right now endorsing it, are you?
No, but I will tell you there were a lot of dots along looking at something like that. So, it's a user fee. I believe we could, if we were in that realm, we could still be cheaper in our user fees than our neighbors.
Okay, thank you. The variable wholesale tax never got any traction the first time it was mentioned. It's a potential $215 million upper within 3 years. I don't see that as a starter. Do you?
Well, there's numerous other states that have been going to that. The idea behind that would be a percentage-based tax, so you would do it probably separately from, you'd still have the basic tax that we have per gallon. But it's another way, again, to capture growth. So that's, there's some natural growth in moving forward. And there's been, you know, numerous states in the last 5 years that have gone to that. So it's harder to explain, though, certainly.
The mileage-based fee idea, where you would rely on the honesty of people to report how many miles they drive in a year. You would exempt them for 3,000 miles. Senator Mark Lane said, I'm from southeast Wisconsin. I have constituents that work in Iowa and Illinois. Not really fair if part of their mileage is in those two states. Is that a non-starter, sir?
You know, I thought what Senator Mark Lane brought up was a very legitimate point. It's one of the things that's very difficult about it. I think eventually in this country, we're going to get to a vehicle miles traveled way of funding transportation as we move more towards, you know, alternate powered cars and different things. But it's difficult to implement state to state. I don't think we're there yet.
Well, what you said, as we look out into the future, are you concerned that as we have more hybrids and electrics, they would not pay the gas tax or not an honest registration fee? I know we just bumped it a little bit in the current budget. Mm-hmm. So long range on these alternative fuel vehicles or electric not paying their fair share, you concerned?
Again, long term, I think we're going to probably have to transition to some other ways. In the short term, you know, our user fees still work, and that's why Indiana and Iowa and Michigan all adjusted theirs within the last couple of years.
Do we have the worst highways in this region?
State highways, yeah. The audit showed that clearly. We had 32% of our state highways in good condition, and our neighbors, a lot of them were at 75%. The next closest to us, you know, for worse, was Iowa at 52%. So, yes, our state highways were the roughest in the Midwest by a large amount.
You and I just attended the Wisconsin Counties Association conference. A lot of those counties have adopted local wheel taxes. What's your position on those?
You know, I would rather see us have a broad-based approach to funding transportation. We've left a lot of locals without really any options, and they're doing their best to keep their system together. A lot of county highway people, commissioners I talk to, their roads are engineered to last 30 to 40 years, and they're on a replacement schedule of 200, 250 years. So they're trying to do anything they can.
I talked to one county official last night. I interviewed her, and she said, we're bonding for the first time for our state and local roads. Now let's talk about the elephant in the room. Let's talk about tolling. Mm-hmm. Because at today's session of the Wisconsin County Association, Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald said, we have $1 billion project left in southeast Wisconsin. We have to consider tolling. Speaker Voss said, also endorsed tolling. Assembly Democratic Leader Hintz, however, called it not a solution. There are so many nuances to tolling. Can you lay out the process? Because potentially, years out, potential revenue raisers of $1 billion, but fill in the butt, please.
So when it comes to tolling, you know, again, it is a user fee. It doesn't matter what kind of gas you've got in your car or electric, so anybody that goes through there. Right now, the federal government would have to change the laws to allow us to do it in any, you know, across the state or in any ways.
Even though Speaker Voss said we could toll on state-funded roads, is that true?
Yes, that is true. So we're not talking interstates. We could on some state-funded roads now.
For example?
Well, you'd have to find enough that would have the volume to make sense. And now, there might be some individual bridges where you could, and I'm open to have any discussions about any of those. The most immediate thing we could do in terms of tolling, and it could be a long-term solution, but I believe we have a right-now problem. We can't just say maybe eventually and then in the meantime not do anything. Okay. So I think we have to raise some revenue right now. I would not shut off the idea about moving to tolling as a possibility as we explore it and as technologies get better. The one thing we could do right now is apply for one of the pilot slots with the federal government to toll a corridor, one corridor. And with the needs we have in southeastern Wisconsin, with, you know, rebuilding an interstate, and there's no money in the base for that right now, I think that's a conversation we shouldn't rule out.
What do you consider the biggest highway need in the state of Wisconsin right now, Greg?
I would say overall to simply improve the conditions of the highways we already have. As far as,
is that east west? Is that the Zoo Freeway?
Well,
is
no, I'm not talking about new projects. I'm just saying to rehabilitate and improve the conditions of the state highways we have. As far as projects out there, I think State Highway 23 between Fond du Lac and Sheboygan is a big priority.
That's at the top of your list.
For our major highway program, yes, that's at the top. And then there's our interstates in southeast that we're going to have to, but I think we We have to finish the zoo interchange, and we're just going to have to. And then beyond that, I think we need to, in a priority order, fix their current roads and then get to moving forward on that.
What's your thoughts on the east-west from the Marquette to downtown Milwaukee? Double-decking has been ruled out. The price tag keeps rising. How soon do you think the state might be able to move on that?
You know, that one is really, from people talking about efficiencies and wanting to get the most dollars out, we did get to a preferred option. We did get the agreement from the federal government called a record of decision. And then we didn't move forward on funding, and we actually asked to have that record of decision removed. That's after millions of dollars in engineering. That's after getting agreement on all these different things. So now the part that lies between, our interstate that lies between the Marquette and the zoo, isn't done yet, which to me, we have not gotten the return on the investment of over $2 billion we've already made by not doing the part in the middle, so which is right in front of Miller Park, or now AmFam Park. So we can't just not do that.
Is your agency, are you going to ask the governor to overturn that record of decision?
We will have to start the whole process over again now. There's no overturn. We're going to have to go through engineering again.
How long?
That would probably take at least a year and a half just to get to the point where we could get a record of decision back from the federal government again before we could even begin moving back, you know, forward to where we were a year or two ago.
And then what priority do you assign to I-90, to the Dane County, to the Illinois border? Where does that rank in your hierarchy of needs?
It's hugely important truck route for a lot of the businesses in this state, and I think we're looking at that we should be able to complete that on schedule.
And then the Verona Road west to Dodgeville?
The Verona Road project is on schedule as well. I'm actually going to speak to those folks later today. But that is one that it should be completed on schedule.
When you talk to senators from northern Wisconsin, and I would guess they ask about, hey, we understand major, very expensive, major projects in southern and southeast Wisconsin. What about us in northern Wisconsin? Mm-hmm. I've heard that from Representative Swearingen and others.
Yep.
How do you answer their concern that there has to be a balance and a fairness here?
By introducing a budget that addresses that and prioritizes. Again, you know, when you asked about specific projects, we're going to try to get some of the crucial ones done. But I think, you know, where our emphasis is going to be is getting locals the resources and getting money out and fixing the current state highways across the state that are in such bad condition in all these different districts. And the only way you answer that is by how you put forward a budget.
When I talk to Milwaukee County legislators and other local officials, they speak about the need for RTAs, regional transit authorities. Mm-hmm. Do we need a framework that includes regional transit authorities?
I believe, again, long-term for transit, that is going to be the way that communities are able to decide for themselves through referendum about how to meet their transit needs. I don't know that we're there yet politically. I think we need to continue to have some more conversations.
8 years. Was it the wrong decision to turn down the federal money for the high-speed train from Milwaukee to Madison?
You know, that was a complicated issue. I think there's valid arguments on both sides of that.
Are you going to need more time? Are you going to meet Governor Evers' recommendation in the State of the State? He said he expected a plan by when he introduces his budget on February 28th. We've just gone through all the things you're juggling. Are you going to be able to meet that deadline?
I believe we are.
You are. And what's your goal? To raise the $360 to $400 million for the state highways? Or is that, do you hope to, in the next biennium, 2 years, raise revenue, come up with revenue of more than that?
My goal would be to be able to show that we're going to not only stop the decline in conditions on all these roads across the state, but improve
right.
them,
right.
add money for local governments through their AIDS program, increase transit, and still finish the zoo.
How do you sell that statewide publicly?
Because, again, I think people across this entire state, if they know for, you know, and again, and I don't know what the budget is ultimately going to look like, what the governor is going to ultimately decide. But for what I think will be a nominal amount, if they know at the end of the day their roads and their areas are going to start getting better and are going to be improved, I think that's a budget we can sell.
You've been on the job a month. Biggest takeaway, biggest lessons learned from your first month as transportation secretary?
I think I already knew going in, but it's people feel very strongly about this issue on all sides, and I just think it's something that we have to stick with the facts and talk about, you know, how much we're really talking about and what the options are versus if we do something or versus if we don't.
You love this job?
I do.
It's getting in the way of your hobby of jogging throughout all of Madison, isn't it?
A little bit.
I no longer see you jogging through Madison streets. Okay, so you expect to have a plan. you're in the middle of this controversy, and you're going to make a recommendation to Governor Evers time for his February 28th budget.
Yes.
Craig Thompson, Secretary of Transportation, good luck.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.